And we ended up in verse 21 the last time we studied. And this is where the Ziphites have come and told Saul that David is hiding out in their neck of the woods. And, of course, Saul appreciates them being tattletales and ratting out David. He even says, the Lord's going to bless you for it because you've had compassion on me. Which, as we talked before, shows that, you know, Saul's just, he's all over the place. If he were trying to get support, I guarantee you I wouldn't support him. I can promise you that. One minute he's not going to kill David, next minute he is going to kill David, one minute God's on his side, you know, he's all over the place. He's really crazy. But anyway, verse 22, Saul says to the Ziphites, go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place where his haunt is. A haunt is a place where somebody hangs out, where they go frequently. Kind of what we would call a hangout, you know. That's what it is. And Saul says, I want you to go and see his place. Find out that main place that he comes to real often. Find that out. And who hath seen him there? Find out where it is and talk to the people that have seen him there. You know, just find out for sure what's going on. He says, for it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. Subtly is like crafty, slick. You're good at pulling the wool over somebody's eyes or being kind of tricky. It's what subtlety is. So he's saying you need to go and make sure, you know, talk to some people, find out that main spot, because maybe he's just tricking y'all. Maybe he's making you think that he's in a particular spot or that this is his main hangout when in reality it's not. So just go and make sure that this is his main place. See therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself. Take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth. And trying to find out all the places. Find out that main spot, but then try to find out everywhere he goes. Any place where he might hide out, try to find out where those places are. And then come ye again to me with the certainty. The certainty of where these places are is the idea. When you find that out, when you take knowledge of that, then you come back. When you're certain of it, come back and you tell me where all these places are. And when you do that, I will go with you. He's saying, I'm not just going to follow you blindly up there. I'm not going to come up until you can give me a little more detail, a little more information, till you let me know for sure where he's hanging out the most and all the different places he's going. When you do that, then I'll go with you. And it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah. He says, if you come back with a certainty and you let me know he's there in the area, then I'm going to come up there and whatever I got to do, I'm going to search the whole land out among all the people and I'm going to find him. That's what he's saying. I'm going to just come and I'm going to stay with it till I find him. Verse 24, and they arose, that's the Ziphites, and went to Ziph before Saul. They go back before him. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. This is where he's at this time, which is still in this same general area. If you look on a map, you see these different places here that's talked about in this chapter. But they're all in Judah. In the part of the land known as Judah, and in different areas within the land, and they're in, on a map, they're in fairly close proximity. They're not real, real far from one another. But this is where David's at now. Saul also and his men went to seek him. Now, we just read where Saul told those Ziphites, you go find out where he's at, or the main places he hangs out. You come tell me, then I'll go. Okay, the Ziphites go back. We don't hear anything else. We don't get any more record of anything where it says they went back and checked out all the places or whatever. You just get to 25, and it says Saul also and his men went to seek him. Now, just reading between the lines, you have to assume that if Saul stuck by what he said, that the Ziphites went back, took knowledge of all the places, found out where they believed his main hideout was, and somehow got that information back to Saul. Because didn't Saul say, I'm not coming till you do that? That's what he said. So since he went, you just have to assume. You just have to assume, and I know what assuming will do for you sometimes, but you just have to assume that this all happened the way Saul said it needed to happen, because he and his men commit. They go up, and they told David, whoever they is, they told David. Wherefore, he came down into a rock. They told David that Saul and his men were coming after him. So he comes down into a rock. This rock, according to the next verse, turns out to be a mountain, actually. Okay. But they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. So it's just kind of a back and forth deal. You know, Saul's getting information, David's getting information. They each have people that are on their side that's giving them this information. And it's just kind of a cat and mouse thing at this point. Saul's getting information, he goes in this direction. David gets information, he goes in this direction. But they're gradually getting closer and closer to one another. In verse 26, and Saul went on this side. This is how close they were. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. That shows you that rock in verse 25, you know, they're in a mountain. So Saul shows up, he's on one side of the mountain. David and his men on the other side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. For Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. Compasses, surround. Okay, so Saul and his men is trying to surround David and his men so they can get David. That's what's going on. Verse 27, but there came a messenger unto Saul saying, haste thee and come. For the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place, whatever that word is right there. Y'all see that big word? Anybody in here like to venture an effort at that? What's that? That sounds good to me, brother. Selah, which is, you know, that's the word if you read through Psalms, Selah, but it's usually got an H on the end of it when you see it at the end of a psalm or at the end of a verse in a psalm. But Selah, Hema, Lakoth, I guess is how you say that. That's about as much as I can do with that. Which, by the way, that means the crag or cliff of divisions. That's what Scofield has in the margin. The crag or cliff of divisions. They would call it that because this is a place where God put a division, a separation between Saul and David and protected David. Now, what you don't want to miss here is the providence of God in the life of David. Because Saul and his men are getting real close. They're on one side of the mountain, David and his men on the other side, and it says they were compassing David and his men. That means they were about to surround them, about to get them, okay? And just about the time they going to get them, just all of a sudden, this messenger shows up and says to Saul, you got to hurry up and get back because the Philistines have invaded the land. So what does Saul have to do? He cannot continue his efforts to get David. He has to stop that, just throw it down and hurry back home to deal with these Philistines. And I don't believe, me personally, I don't believe for one instance this was an accident. Okay, I believe this was the providence of God. The Lord used those Philistines in order to get Saul away from David at this time, to protect him. And so you see in verse 29, it says, David went up from thence and dwelt in strongholds at Engedi. So he gets away and he goes to another place. And we'll read more about this place in the next chapter. But this chapter here closes with a very clear and definite example of God's providence in David's life through this whole thing. We saw earlier on in this chapter, back up in verse number 14, the end of that verse, where it says, and Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And we talked a little bit there about how all through this, you see God's providence, his protection, his watch care over David. And this is a great example of that right here at the end of this chapter when it was getting real rough. I mean, just, and that's the thing, you know. God could have had those Philistines come at any point. He could have had those Philistines show up before Saul and his men got that close to David. But he waited until they got really, really close, and then he sent the messenger. My point in that is that sometimes in your life, you're gonna be in some rough situations, and God's not going to bail you out of it right when you might want him to, or early on in that situation. He's going to just kind of let it be there a while. And it may get to the point where you feel like all hope is gone, that it's just, you know. But just before you cave in or give in, you're going to see God do something, because that's how he does. That's part of growing us up. I really believe that. I think that's part of growing us up, maturing us, making us stronger in our faith. Think about it like this. If every time you had a little or big situation come up in your life, the first time you prayed about it, God just swooped in there and took care of it, would that do a whole lot to build your faith up? No. It just wouldn't do too much. But if he lets you stay in that thing and it just get kind of worse and worse, and instead of it getting better, it just gets worse. Instead of it getting better, it just gets worse. And the more you pray, have you ever prayed about something that seemed like the more you prayed, the worse it got? I have had people tell me before, Brother Keith, I want you to stop praying for me. I mean, really, because the more you pray for me, the worse my situation gets. Just quit praying for me. Of course, they were being facetious, you know, but I understand that, because sometimes that's the way it is. You get in something, situation just, instead of getting better, it seems like it gets worse. It reminds me of that story in the New Testament about the lady with the issue of blood. Had that thing for 12 years. 12 years. And the Bible says that she went to all these different physicians, and she spent every dime she had. And you know what the scripture says? That instead of getting better, she grew worse. And it just gets to where the woman feels like there's no hope. She feels like that. And then all of a sudden, on this particular occasion, this fella comes walking through town. You know what I mean? And she gets what she needs right then. But it wasn't real early on. 12 years he let that lady be in that. And when she got reduced down to where she had no more money, there was nothing another human being could do for her, then he took care of the problem. Sometimes he's going to let you get in some stuff, and he's not going to bail you out right to start with. Could he? Yeah, absolutely. He can get you out of it. Matter of fact, he could keep you from ever getting in it. Well, he doesn't do that. He'll let you get in some rough situations, some pickles, like we say. Get in a pickle, a tight spot, and that thing will just get tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter until you feel like it's over. And then right when you think it's over, he'll do something. That stuff builds your faith. You know what that does? That helps you. It helps you for the next time you get in something. Because I can promise you, you may not be in something right now, just hang on a little while. But it's coming. All of us have to go through things. And you're not going to just go through one thing in your life. You're going to go through a lot of things in your life. And you get through one thing, builds you. That helps you for the next one. You get through that thing, it builds you some more, and it helps you for the next one. But if God just swooped in and took care of it right to start with every time, it just would not build our faith like we need it to be built. So he lets us get in some situations, and it gets rough, and then we see his hand. And this is a situation where it got real tight for David. But God took care of him, and that's the main thing, amen. At the end of the day, that's the main thing that God provides, and he gets the glory. Okay, that's the main thing. And you see a good example of that here in David's life. And we're going to stop. Any questions about what we looked at here tonight?